If you're a regular listener of this show, you've heard my next guest often. Judge Andrew Napolitano is a judicial analyst for Fox News. Also wrote a terrific book about a year and a half ago called Constitutional Chaos, What Happens When the Government Breaks Its Own Laws. He's a former judge of the Superior Court of New Jersey and a frequent guest here on the Paul Harris Show on KMOX. And I've asked him to come back here this afternoon because of an op-ed piece he wrote a little while ago about the Bush administration and the National Security Agency and their domestic spying program. Judge Knapp, welcome back to the show.
Oh, always a pleasure, Paul, and a belated Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and to your listeners.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you. You
don't like this domestic spying, do you?
Well, it's not a matter of me not liking it. The Constitution and the laws of the United States don't like it. The laws are pretty clear. If the president wants to listen in on the conversation of a non-American physically present in the U.S., he goes to something called the FISA Court, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which sits 24/7, which meets in secret, and from which it is very easy to get a search warrant to listen to that conversation. If he wants to listen to the conversation of an American physically present in the United States, he goes to a regular United States District Court judge. Judges also sit 24/7 and also meet in secret, and he presents evidence that that person is doing something probably criminal, and he gets the warrant that way. If he doesn't do either, he has broken the law, and he has taken an oath to uphold the law, and he doesn't have the power to break the law in good times or in bad. The Supreme Court said that as recently as a year and a half ago.
Now, the president says that Congress, in effect, repealed the anti-wiretapping statute for him and him alone when it authorized him to use force against those who facilitated the 9/11 attacks. I'm reading directly from your op-ed. That's what you say the president's argument
right,
is.
Right, that is the president's argument. And when I wrote that piece, which appeared last week in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I was unaware of what a former Senator Tom Daschle would write in the Washington Post 2 days later, which is that the president specifically asked for this authority when the resolutions authorizing him to use force to repel those who attacked us on 9/11 were being negotiated, and the Senate specifically declined to give him that authority. I didn't know that at the time. Had I known that when I wrote the piece, I would have put it in there. But beyond that, Congress can, of course, a sitting Congress can always repeal what a prior Congress has written, but it has to do so clearly and specifically. It can't do so by implication, just for one person, just for one set of circumstances. That is a very, very weak argument that the president's making, and his lawyers know that.
All right, what about the president's argument that we're in a different kind of war, in the war on terror, and there are times when we have to act really fast, and in a mobile society with cell phones and satellite technology and internet voiceover protocol and all the rest of that sort of stuff, we've got to be able to move much quicker than the law allows. Is that a valid argument at all?
None of that allows him to break the laws that were written to rein in the illegal behavior of President Nixon in the early 70s, and none of that allows him to violate the Constitution. Look, if he wants authority to do these things, he's going to have to ask for an amendment to the Constitution, or he's going to have to ask the Congress to stretch the power that they have. His oath is to uphold our liberties. His oath is to uphold the Constitution. His oath is to uphold all federal laws, whether he finds them inconvenient or not. If the terrorists and technology are getting ahead of our Constitution, he may want to revisit the Constitution, but he doesn't have the power to change it on his own, and he knows that.
I bet you're a little bit conflicted about this, because I know you like the president and you're a supporter of his, but you're also a constitutional scholar. This has got to be tearing you apart.
It does tear me apart. I do like him. I voted for him twice. I've admitted this on the air before, so I have no shame in admitting it again. I was saying rosaries for him during the as the votes were coming in against John Kerry that he would win. I think his heart is in the right place. I think his judgment is usually sound. But when he starts trampling the Constitution to make his job and the job of law enforcement easier, he forgets that his oath is to uphold our values as well as our real estate. Look, we fought the Cold War for 40 years against Eastern Europe to stop them from spying on their own government. Why would we allow ourselves to have our own government spy on us? We never authorized it, and we can't under the Constitution.
Now, I'm sure that before the president went forward with this, he had vetted it with members of the Attorney General's office and the rest of the Justice Department and his own advisors. Did he get bad legal advice? advice?
I think he got legal advice from people who were accustomed to telling him what they thought he wanted to hear. The team that advised him that he could do this is the same team that told him if he took prisoners of war to Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, the federal courts couldn't reach him there. Supreme Court rejected that 8-0. I think this is the same team that told him he could torture people. The Congress has rejected that by overwhelming majorities. He's been getting legal advice from people whose hearts are in the right place, but are afraid to tell him that the law prohibits him from doing what he wants to do. Look, the whole genius of the American system is that we put a neutral judge between the government and its domestic target. No matter how hateful the target is, no matter how obviously guilty, and no matter how threatening the target is, there's always that judge there to restrain the government. That's what's made this country so great. Our values and our freedoms, the way we treat the bad people, as well as the way we treat the good people. This president, whose heart is in the right place, cannot start trampling the Constitution just to make his job easier.
So your argument is not that we shouldn't be doing this, it's that we shouldn't be doing it without the judicial oversight that the warrant procedure usually requires and that the Fourth Amendment demands.
Absolutely. And you know, I sat as a judge who heard these applications, and agents would come to my home at 3 a.m. and say, we know this drug dealer is in such and such a place, and here's how we know it, and he's going to leave at 6 o'clock in 3 hours. Can you hand write out this search warrant so we can search the premises, seize the evidence, and arrest him right now? They tell me this under oath. They present me evidence of it. It takes 5 minutes. I sign the search warrant, and they do it. That's the lawful way to do it. The president has to follow the law. And the law is there to make sure that he doesn't become a king, that he stays a president, subject to the Constitution like the rest of us.
Now, let me ask you for your legal advice on this, because I'm curious, just as a hypothetical. Let's say somebody does get busted for some sort of terrorist claim, whatever the charge is against them, and they use some of this evidence from some of these warrantless wiretaps. Could a good lawyer use that and go to court and say this was unconstitutional? Could a defense attorney make a case based on what you're talking about here?
That's one of the defects of what the problem has done, of what the president has done. The evidence obtained in these illegal wiretaps is so clearly unconstitutional. It is not competent evidence in a court of law in the United States. This means, Paul, that guilty people may go free because the president's behavior broke the law and the courts will not allow evidence obtained from unlawful searches to be introduced as evidence of a crime.
I bet you there are some lawyers out there chomping at the bit waiting to fight on exactly that basis, you know, hoping that their guy had been wiretapped.
We now know that lawyers in the Justice Department, including the number two person in the Justice Department, Jim Comey, who since has left, objected to this. It's so clearly unlawful. I'm willing to bet that there are even some lawyers in the White House who objected to it, and we haven't found out who they are yet. It's pretty basic stuff. You got to follow the law, especially when it comes to surveillance, because Richard Nixon did not. He used the FBI and the CIA to surveil people who were his political enemies. The Congress wrote a very strict and very tough law and aimed it at the president, and President Carter signed that law signed that bill into law. It's clear that he can't do this, and he should know it.
I've heard the phrase warrant after the fact, and I don't know what that means. Can you explain it to me?
Sure. When the president wants to surveil non-Americans and he doesn't have time to get a warrant from the FISA court, he can order the surveillance installed, and as long as the warrant is obtained within 72 hours of the installation of the surveillance is valid and the evidence obtained from it is lawful. There's no such thing as a warrant after the fact for Americans, only for foreigners. That tells him when it's an emergency. If there's an al-Qaeda guy in Paterson, New Jersey, who's talking to his buddy in Islamabad, go install the warrant, and you've got 72 hours. Go install the surveillance. You've got 72 hours to get the warrant. They didn't even do that. The law has made it very easy for them, and they didn't follow it.
So there's an argument against their argument, which is, hey, things move fast. Okay, well, go ahead and do it, and you have 3 days to catch up.
You have 3 days to get the judges who sit 24-7 in secret and who stop what they're doing to take your phone calls.
Do we have any evidence that these covert wiretaps have made any dent in the war against terrorism?
The government has said they have. The government has not told us of any case but one. And the one case they told us about, a crackpot by the name of Ayman Faris, pleaded guilty to trying to destroy the Brooklyn Bridge with an acetylene torch. Now, that is probably impossible to do, but that's what he pleaded guilty to. I think they browbeat him into pleading guilty, and I think the government is hard-pressed to show us a single terrorist act that was stopped by virtue of these illegal wiretaps. That wouldn't impress me.
I'm not impressed
when the Constitution's violated, no matter what good may come from it.
Yeah, I'd like to see a guy try to do that. I bet it would take more than the 72 hours.
I think it would.
while I have you here, can I ask you a question on a completely different legal matter that
of
I think
course,
is right up your alley?
I'm chatting with you.
There is a bill on the desk of the governor of Ohio right now. Bob Taft has a bill on his desk that he hasn't signed yet, but it's been sitting there for a couple of weeks. It's the Ohio Patriot Act, under which police could arrest people in public places who will not give their name, their address, and their birth date to the officer, even if they're not even suspected of doing anything wrong. They say that it would pave the way for everyone entering a transportation site, such as a train station or an airport or a bus station or any other place the public gathers, to have to show ID. Does that make the hair on the back of your neck stand up?
It does, and I'll tell you why, because the Supreme Court heard a very similar case called Hybel, H-I-B-E-L, which emanated from Utah, and the Supreme Court said the states do have the authority, without any evidence of criminality, to demand that you say who you are. I think the court was dead wrong. One of the beauties of this country is freedom to travel. The government cannot come up to you and say, hey, Mr. Harris, who are you, where are you coming from, where are you going to, and let me see some ID. Unfortunately, if Governor Taft signs that law, it will be the law in Ohio, and the Supreme Court will probably say he can do it.
Ugh, drives me crazy. I don't want to live in a country that we could have your papers, please, on any street corner.
You know, the chiefest right, the greatest right, after the right to live, is the right to be left alone. That's one of the reasons we have the Fourth Amendment, is to keep the government off our backs from saying, who are you, where are you coming from, where are you going to, what's in your shoe, what's in your envelope, what's under the bed, what's in the barn. That's not the American system. And these scare tactics that the government uses to tell us that there are terrorists under every bed and in every barn, and therefore we have to break the law in order to find them, is going to bring us closer to a totalitarian government with every tick of the clock.
And in that way, the terrorists win.
Yes, they win without firing a shot.
Yeah.
If they can get us to give up our liberties voluntarily.
If you want to read a terrific book on these matters, read Constitutional Chaos, What Happens When the Government Breaks Its Own Laws. Judge Andrew Napolitano's terrific book from about a year and a half ago that is still on sale and still a great read. And you're always a great guest. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Judge Andrew Napolitano from the Fox News Channel here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.